Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio podcast, your go-to source for bite-sized lessons in growing and running your dance studio. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm a dance studio owner and business coach, helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. Do you love the podcast content but are looking to get a bit more one-on-one strategy? If that is the case, I really encourage you to check out our monthly masterclasses. Each month, I dive into a specific topic that is going to help you and your dance studio reach the next level. So if you're interested in finding more about that, head to assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Again, each month is a specific topic catered to you and your dance studio, all about how to grow and create a bigger, more successful, just more streamlined dance studio. And if that's something you're interested in, you can buy a one-off masterclass. So if you can sort of pick and choose to what topics suit your interest, or alternatively, you can sign up for our membership to our masterclass, which is a discounted monthly price. So whatever you are interested in joining us for, you can check that out at assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes released weekly. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here, and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we are doing a bit of a recap overview on my recent dance costume buying trip that I went on with my sister to Thailand. So we took a trip together in May, and it was really, really fantastic, but there was a lot of questions about it on our socials. So we thought we'd do a bit of a recap overview on how it went, the positives and negatives, and I guess why we even decided to do it in the first place. So if you're interested in finding out different ways to, find dance costumes, how to streamline this really frustrating process, you should stay tuned to today's episode. Amazing. So Mariah is joining me today as per usual.
Yep.
And she is going to sort of ask me the questions because I was the one on the trip and I need to be asked questions.
Yes. So let's just talk about this before we get started on some of these questions that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide that you wanted to go to Thailand and do the costume buying trip? Like, what, like, why didn't you just stick around to what you've been doing for the past 10 years?
I think just because circumstances around the world have changed. I'm sure everyone listening will also have noticed the price changes, and that's not to say I understand that all of the companies involved, like costume companies, their prices have all increased. So it's not to say that they're doing the wrong thing, but in terms of offering something to our customers, we have a costume deposit system. So we have like a capped amount that we charge each student. We split it up into three like lay-by payments throughout the year. And then once that's paid, then the costume is essentially paid for, and then we purchase it. So we can't just add a markup onto what it costs us because we have that limited cap. And so we have essentially, I work backwards and say like, okay, so we charge customers this much, which means, you know, when we take off the amount of time it takes us to order and percentage and shipping, blah, 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 we can only buy costumes for, you know, this amount. And whilst that used to be, you know, relatively simple, it last year became
a nightmare.
Really massive job challenge. I did costuming last year for like 4 months. I think I ordered some sets of for groups 5 times because, again, supply and demand was an issue.
Yeah.
And then pricing was a massive issue. And it was just something that either was costing the business money or, again, essentially I was basically almost working for free, which I refused to do. So I had to do it last year just because it is what it is.
Yeah.
And we'd already kind of got to that point in the year, but I knew that that was not something I was willing to do moving forward. And I knew that I wasn't doing the costumes anymore. I'd trained one of my team members to do it and she's taking over that. And so I need to make sure that her wage is covered. Yeah. And then to wrap it all up, my younger sister, who's, I don't know why I said that. She's just my sister. Well, she's younger, but she's not that young. She's not like, just a few years younger than me. She moved back from England a couple of years ago now and has been working in a job that she enjoys, but wanted to sort of start like a side hustle. And I sort of jokingly said like, Australia could do with a few new dance like costume businesses. That are of like really good quality and great design. And she has a fashion design background and a fashion buying background. And so it seemed like a good thing.
Just aligned.
And like she has obviously the connection with dance me, like through, and she danced growing up too. She decided that it was going to be a business that she was going to start and was sort of using me, I guess, as the tester to ensure that everything's sort of running smoothly and she's happy with the design. So the trip that we did in May, we both went together and it was, all researched by her, and Thailand was chosen because it's close to Australia in terms of shipping. Prices were good. Surprisingly, they're actually not as low as I thought, but, again, they have to have prices. She researched China and a few other places, but the Bangkok, Thailand seemed to be the spot to go.
Okay. Awesome. So can you give us an overview of your dance costume buying trip to Thailand? Like, where did you go? How long was the trip? And I guess we sort of covered the purpose behind why you went. Give us a little rundown.
So we flew out from Australia on a Friday night.
Yep.
And so essentially flew overnight and arrived there Saturday morning. And then we had till the Thursday afternoon. We flew out the following Thursday afternoon and arrived back here on the Friday morning.
Yep.
So we were gone 7 days, but in Australia, 2 days of like sort of travel.
Traveling.
But I think only about 10 or 12 hours in total traveling, which is really not a lot for Australia. So then we had the weekend when we first got there to kind of we checked into a hotel, we kind of got acquainted with where we were, but knowing a lot of like the factories and those type of things weren't going to be open over the weekend. But we could kind of sort of get a bit of a grip on where we were. There was a lot of shopping centres near us as well that we were told had like the possibility of supplies and things like that. The shopping centres there are very different to Australia in that there's like, there's so many, but there's some very like Western style shopping centers that look like our like Chermside or whatever. And then there's some that are like floors and floors of like wholesale stalls, like packed in next to each other.
Right.
In seemingly no like theme.
Some
of them were. Some of them was like, oh, this is clearly the kids section. This is clearly like the denim section. And then some were just like, ladies, men, shoes, kids, crockery. And it was just sort of random. So you really were like searching basically. And there was a couple of places that we looked around that had like sort of dance specific or more like costume attire. So we used the weekend to kind of figure out where we're going, set out our plan a bit more, sort of, structure what we're going to do and how we're going to tackle it. Because we were told we would sort of have to go back for a couple of days to kind of lock stuff down and meet our suppliers. And we actually bought stuff while we were there that got delivered to our hotel that we packed in bags to bring home. But there's only so much you can bring in, one, for it to be legal into Australia.
Yeah.
And two, like we flew China Airlines one, I think was the cheapest flights, but two, you got two 24 kilo bags each just as a part of it.
Yeah.
Which is so much that luggage.
Is,
like I'd never traveled with that much luggage in my life.
Yeah.
But that just meant I was able to have like one bag of my clothes plus stuff.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of personal shopping while we were there as well. I actually bought so much stuff. I was shocked because I'm not a a plus size person. I'm no, a like yeah. a pretty straight in Australia. I'd be a size, like 12, which yeah. I think is about an 8 in America. I think they go.
Oh, is
back.
It?
Yeah, I think they go back to compared to us.
Okay,
I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. Anyway, just I'm just I would be considered. I think that's is the term straight sized.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just very mindful not to use like the wrong language.
Yeah.
But
you're a size 12.
I'm a size 12, yeah. But compared to Thai people, I'm quite big. Like
really?
So I would go into a you would die of this. I went into like a couple of shops and like you can't try stuff on.
Oh.
So you can like and sometimes you're not allowed to touch it. So sometimes you're allowed to touch and like sort of hold it up against you. Because they're just – it's all jam-packed. There's no change rooms.
Both.
And they have no space and they're just trying to sell and, like
– move on.
Be gone.
Yeah.
So some stuff you sort of hold up and measure and go, I think that looks okay. And then some pants, I was like, oh, these look really good. But I'm like, oh, like the thigh. Like I'm like hourglass. Like yeah. I've got bigger button thighs.
Yeah.
This is a fun get to know me. but literally would say to them like, oh, do you think that these would fit me? And like – one person literally let me go, no, you're too fat. And I was like, oh, okay. Like they don't mean it. There's no, just like a language barrier. And again, oh I wasn't, didn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
I was just like, cool. Yeah. And they were like, it was just really funny. And sometimes they'd take your measurement and like, I'm quite small around the waist. Yeah. And they'd be like, oh yes. And then they like do my bum and go, oh no.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that because of that, I was like, oh, I just don't think. Like I'm just not there sort of – and a lot of it's one size fits all, which is not one size fits all. It's not. So a lot of the stuff I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to buy it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it turns out there was a lot. Like I just looked for like A-line things and, you know, dresses, things like that. Anyway, that was a fun time. So I bought a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, there's these random shopping centres like all kind of together. So anyway, we spent the weekend doing that. We had a bit of sister time. We did a cooking course. We had like the Sunday we did a bit of like a tourist day and then like our hotel was really nice and like we hung out by the pool and had like I read a book and had a cocktail.
Wow.
Like, oh my God. And this was, I've been overseas with my sister like and my mum and dad before when we were like a foursome.
Yeah.
But I have never, and when we were like in our late teens, early 20s, I was in my early 20s, Sarah was 19. Mm. We went to America and Canada. But we went with my cousin for the first bit and then met my mum and dad. So it's never just been the two of us. Even like on a weekend, I've never been just with my sister.
Interesting.
Because it's always like, well, my mum wants to come or like, we love my mum.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, cool. Like we're going on a family trip.
Yeah.
And like I've been with my husband since I was 14. So my sister was 12.
Yeah.
So he's almost like a sibling to her. So we've always just been with other people.
Yeah.
So it was really nice just to have that time together as well.
Yeah.
And then, pretty much from the Monday to Wednesday, it was just bang, 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 finding suppliers, making that connection. We had a translator on one day to come with us because there was to be honest, they speak brilliant English compared to what I speak Thai.
Yeah.
but, like, again, there was just a few communication barriers that I needed to make sure that was being really clear. Like there was pricing and like minimum order quantities and things like that that if we had made a mistake could be quite detrimental. So and he was like a translator slash shipping man.
Mm.
So then Sarah built that connection in terms of like we now can order from our suppliers. And then they will send it to him and then he will group and organize everything together to ship it on a boat to Australia, which is a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
But like Sarah has done – don't have any of this. Like Sarah has done all this research, so much time, so much energy. She also connected with like a studio owner friend of mine in Brisbane who was my teacher when I moved to Brisbane for a few years and has just been so generous with time.
Yeah.
And shared some of her suppliers. Sarah found a few others and also when we were there, we noticed the more you ask, the more people might send you to a different spot.
Mm.
We were sort of shocked with how like limited their use of technology was, like no websites, phone numbers. Sometimes they would have email. Most of the time they just want to talk to you on Facebook Messenger. So like the concept of ordering thousands of dollars of worth of concert costumes on Facebook Messenger gives me a rash.
Yeah.
But like we what?
What the rash?
I get
I know rise. You get rashes, but it's just funny.
Okay. So yeah, that's that. It was good to sort of as well, unfortunately during this sort of initial research phase, my sister was scammed quite a bit of money from a supplier in China. And that was obviously just one supplier, but that kind of proved to us that we needed to put like eyes on these businesses before we started
giving them
doing
money.
That. Because Sarah, with again the supplier in China, she paid for samples and they sent all. It was a really quite elaborate scheme.
I know.
All the samples we there was a lot of backward forwards, like 6-8 weeks, and then she'd place an order and just
they gapped it.
Gone
that
skis.
Is so wild.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of an overview. That was a long one.
Sorry. Right. That was great. So what – I guess you sort of covered this a little bit, but what sort of factors influenced your decision to choose Thailand? I know like Sarah probably
– It was Sarah.
Streamed that a lot of the
– Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Sarah. It was – it's, again, closer to Australia, affordable prices. They seem to be more flexible. Again, I'm using these generalizations because it was just our experience with the suppliers we spoke to. But some other suppliers that we had that weren't in Thailand were very much like, this is the costume. You have to do this. The end.
Mm.
Where the Thai suppliers, depending on the supplier, were like willing to customize. You know, if you're buying a various amount of costumes, they might reduce the minimum order quantity, things like that. So they just seem to be more... flexible and more willing to work with you basically.
Yeah, yeah. And did, before going there, did Sarah research all the suppliers or did you find that you found more once you were there?
So she researched as many as she could.
Yeah.
But again, no one's on Google.
Yeah.
Like we were Googling places that just weren't there.
Yeah.
And so that was really, really hard. So there was the first Monday – We had organized to go to supplier at 9 a.m. And we were there and they weren't there. Like there was just nothing there.
Right.
And we were like, oh, my God. And it just turns out they decided that day to start work at 11:30. So, you know.
Standard.
Yeah. So, but it all, like it turned out to be fine. They were just like, oh, sorry. I just didn't, like, oh, I thought you said you sort of like come by. Like they just.
That day.
Again, it could be a translation thing, could be just a different type of work ethic. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so once we kind of found the first supplier and we did sort of breathe a sigh of relief because I feel like Sarah was really worried it was whole trip was just sort of going to be for nothing.
Yeah.
But then we found that place and then that place, there was another place and then we went, there was right near our hotel, there's like there was these huge markets and honestly it's like a rabbit warren. It's like rows and rows and rows and rows of these teeny tiny, very niche and specific shops. And something that also surprised me was that no shop seemed to have the same stuff. Like it all was different, which was really, really cool. Where like in Australia if you go to market sometimes even like three or four shops will be selling the same kind of a thing and you're like, oh, like that's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Not always, but. They were all very, very different but it's so like jammed in and that like we were dropping pins on our maps to try and find places again because there's no signs like that you would never find it again.
Yeah.
Like we found one supplier, the pin didn't work and I didn't realize and it was like our only hip hop supplier that we sort of came across and by absolute chance we accidentally walked past it again a second time, thankfully.
And then so like did Sarah research those markets?
Well, like when you Google like wholesale markets, like it and if you Google like shopping in Bangkok or it's always like go to the markets, like you should do that. And we went to one market that was like quite far away because it was meant to be like the best weekend market in all of Bangkok. And this one was a little bit more organized in terms of like there was like a map and there was like areas for stuff and they talked about like vintage and Sarah and I didn't read the signs properly and we didn't realize we were in this section and we were like looking at like shoes and stuff and like there was like all these Birkenstocks and I was like, these have been used. Like these are straight up dirty that they've like washed. And only realized like 10 minutes later that that was what they're referring to as like vintage. Oh. And I was like, oh, it's like fine.
Like secondhand.
Yeah, secondhand. Fine to recycle. That's great. But I just, I was definitely in the wrong section. I was like, oh, whoopsies. But for instance, there was like, I swear there was like 100 stores that just sold different Levi denim jeans.
Really?
All vintage, like all old. And Sarah was like, if I wanted to do that, I should just like buy, you could cut them off and make like cute little denim shorts. Anyway, that was just a side note.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then there was other markets that only sold like new wholesale stuff.
Yeah.
And so like.
And so like in there with like men's clothes and things like that was dance costumes.
Yeah, or like accessories, right. Or again, more like streetwear for hip hop that we thought could be costumes.
Yeah. Perfect. And do you think, were there any sort of memorable or standout moments from the trip where, I guess you sort of covered like surprises and unexpected discoveries that you did along the way, but were there any sort of standout moments for you or anything overly memorable?
Well, it was all very memorable. It was really great. It was like a good combination as well because, again, once the shop's shut, Sarah and I had time then to like go to restaurants or like that. There's like a really fancy shopping center not far from us and it is hot there at the moment. Like we're from Queensland in Australia and it gets hot, but it was hot there.
Wow.
Like hella hot. And we were there in a cool week compared to the previous week.
Wow.
So previous week was like 44 degrees Celsius.
Oh my god!
And humidity of like 90%.
Yeah.
Where in the week we were there, it was 34. So they were having a cool week.
That's still.
It was like, it was really, and again, because we come from winter in Australia, it was, you kind of forget every time it gets hot in Australia, you always forget how hot it gets.
Yeah.
But you sort of slowly build up to it. So your tolerance for it gets a bit better where we were just sort of blasted with it and it was super, super draining. Like Sarah thinks one day she got like a bit of heat stroke because she was I'm like, we were drinking a lot of water. Like we know what it's like to live in a hot climate.
Yeah.
But it was just, we were doing a lot of walking, like 15,000-18,000 steps a day. Okay, a couple of things that shocked us. One was just like the structure of Bangkok. Sarah looked at maps but just sort of didn't look the scale and sort of assumed things were a lot closer than they were. But it's a really massive big city with things kind of spread all out. So you either need to buy cabs or public transport. There was mixed reviews. Like our hotel was like, no, you can't go on that. Like, but like we went on some trains and stuff, which we thought were great. That the hotel said not to, but it looked perfectly clean and seemed very safe. Like I never felt unsafe there at all.
Yeah.
Everyone was very friendly and there was not
bad vibes.
No, not at all. You know, sometimes you're in a place and you're like, oh, this could be dicey. Yeah. Like this, I felt very safe.
Yeah.
And so
the structure of Bangkok, you were saying.
Yeah, that was sort of a bit of a surprise. The heat was, I knew it was going to be hot, but again, it was just sort of like a whoof, like yowza. And like a funny story was like we went to like one supplier and we had like ordered all of these costumes that we were going to sort of take with us. And they sort of started bagging it together and we literally like Sarah was like, oh, cool, I'll pay that later today. And then, you know, they'll probably come over in the next couple of days. We had gotten back to our hotel and there was already a note under our door that we had a package to pick up and we were like, oh, it can't, like, what is it? They had sent like 3 large boxes of costumes and we had not paid anything. And we were like, we were going to pay, so it wasn't like we were being dodgy, but they were just like so trusting.
Wow.
Just like, well, of course I'll pay. And it was like, oh,
wow.
Shivers. So it was very that just doesn't happen here.
No.
So I was a bit like, oh my God. Like and then Sarah was like, felt so bad, but it literally had been maybe 2 hours.
Wow.
So it was a bit, we needed like Wi-Fi to pay.
Wow. That's cool. And did you, like when you went over there, did you have a sort of certain criteria you considered when selecting the costumes? Like did you prioritize like quality or design, affordability, cultural authenticity? What sort of, did you have any like?
We don't, we weren't buying like any specific like culture costumes. We were buying just like jazz, which I guess is specific.
Do you want me to start that question?
Yeah, again? I think that I copied that one from ChatGPT. Don't say the cultural
bit. What were some of the like criteria you considered when selecting dance costumes? Like, did you prioritize like quality, design, or affordability, or what were you sort of looking for?
Again, I didn't pick.
Yeah.
Sarah did all of this because I'm going to be her best customer.
Yes.
Well, for the time. Well, this year, definitely.
Yes.
But yeah, she did all the research. So I would just say a combination of all three. We wanted quality.
Yep.
We wanted to be able to use good designs I had but adapt them mm-hmm. to things that we thought were good, to customize and for them to be at a good price.
Do you feel like the costumes that you saw over in Thailand, they were completely different to what we have now? No,
I think they're the same.
Really?
So there were some costume shops that were clearly more like specific styles of dance or cultures. Like they were very like traditional. Like right. There was like Thai dancing or there was like Bollywood dance. Like they were clearly having customers all over the world.
Yeah.
And then there was some that were like not – like I thought, you know, age appropriate for children, like bustiers and things like that.
Yeah.
But still gorgeous.
Yeah. But different designs?
Or very – some stuff were a bit different and some stuff I was like, oh, that's clearly a Wiseman design or like I could just pick exactly where they were from.
Yeah.
And again, it is a little bit of like an ethical thing because it's like, oh, you feel a bit awkward. They just have – and I'm not saying like the Thai suppliers have just stolen a design, but a person's clearly asked them to make a design off a picture that's potentially from Wiseman's or blah, 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 wherever. Like, but in saying that as well, there's nothing – like I could see – I won't name specific, but there was like there's costume companies in Australia who essentially just copy designs from, I reckon, the US.
Mm.
And so then there was like other companies that were just copying the Australian companies. So I was sort of like everyone sort of seems to copy themselves.
Yeah.
And then also like I said to Sarah, that's something for you to keep in mind that they don't copyright your design.
Yeah.
So although they don't put it up anywhere, if someone like comes to them with like an Instagram photo, they're like, oh, yes. They say, this is Sarah nice to get, they just say, oh, yes, can.
Really?
Yeah, can.
Okay.
Can make.
Yeah.
And that was literally like, it was always just, yes, we can do it.
Okay. No issues.
Nope.
Yep. Great. And you sort of covered this, but when you went over, how did you sort of navigate the language? Was it all with the translator?
Just a combination. So there were some places that we were told in advance they spoke English.
Yeah.
And so we, again, there was still communication, challenges, but rightly so. Like I don't speak a scratch of Thai. And then some places we were told that they don't speak English and that's when we'd lined up like a translator, sort of tour guide almost for about half a day. And he walked us to all of these ones and we sort of said, oh, we like this one. Oh, we don't like this one. And we sort of made notes and we took business cards from everywhere because there's no way to contact them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's so strange if you found someone and you could never find them again.
Yeah, there's no websites. You can only, again, either contact them via email or Facebook Messenger.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And so sort of to recap or finish off this episode, looking back on your trip, what would you consider the biggest success or achievement in terms of the dance costumes you acquired, and are there any particular costumes that you're especially excited to get in or to have? Or
I don't have a particular like zest costuming.
Yeah.
It's not my joy. It's not where I find my creativity. I like them just to look cute and sparkly and they fit them.
Are you more excited about this new process?
I'm excited because it seems like it's going to be less work for me.
Yep. No, totally fair. It's such a big job. Like last year was literally crazy. Like it was crazy.
But again, this year is going to be different to future years because this year we are Sarah's sort of like guinea pig is the bad word.
Yeah.
But we're her tester. in that she is buying, like we've picked for all our groups, and she's, say we have, we think we have a group of around 10. She's going to buy 15 or 20.
Yeah.
Because then she's going to sell those as a part of her costume business.
Yeah.
So we don't have to do all the sizing and the ordering. Essentially, we're shipping them into Australia. We're going to measure from the batch and then we'll be done. Where in future years, she's going to have other customers that I'm going to have to essentially compete with.
Yeah.
So it won't be, we'll have to kind of do a bit of a hybrid of our previous process. Yeah.
And so what would you consider the biggest success?
Just finding the suppliers and that Sarah's starting a business.
Yeah. Super exciting.
Yeah. And we'll have her on and talk more about that process with her.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. She's a little bit different to me in that she wants to have everything like ready to go and set up before she starts like sharing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm like, I'm of the opinion you start sharing about it straight away. So people know who you are. But anyway, it's just my opinion.
Yeah. Cool. So that was sort of all the questions I had to ask about the awesome costume buying Thailand trip that you went on with your sister. And if you guys have any questions at all, please feel free to reach out on our Instagram. We're always in there open for a chat if you'd like, but I'll pop it over to Claire to finish off.
Yeah, but overall I think it was a really great experience. I know a couple of people have reached out to me and said like, oh, is it worth going? Yeah, I definitely think it is, but it is a lot of groundwork, and I don't think if Sarah wasn't doing this as a business, I don't think I would personally do it year after year. That wouldn't be something I would do, but I know people who do and use it as a trip, like with their family.
Yeah.
Or again, they've set up these relationships now and they can kind of order via Messenger.
Yeah.
And it works out really well, but there is definitely like – I think you have to probably be more organized. There's a bit of a longer turnaround because you're not buying from a company that they still have some stuff in stock, but most of the time they're making to order.
Right.
So it's something to just keep in mind.
Yeah.
But I think overall, a super positive experience. But I also like the concept of like supporting local is something that I'm really passionate about, but and we'll still continue to do. But I think it's – well, I guess I'm supporting local now because I'm – my sister, but we just can't afford to get costumes made within Australia anymore.
Yeah.
So that's just sort of
how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you later. Well, how do I finish? I forgot.
Talk to you later. That's all for today, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.
There we go. Done.
Thank you for listening to the Ensemble Dance Studio Coaching Podcast with your host, me, Claire O'Shea. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it on your stories on Instagram and tag the show or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Ensemble Dance Studio Coaching. Tune in next week for another episode all about helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. See you then!